Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then notice verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Today I want to preach just on just a simple thought: worse than being lost. Worse than being lost. There's something that's worse than being lost. We're going to talk about that today. Lord, we thank you for your presence, for the moving of your Spirit. We thank you for your word, for your promises, for all that are gathered in your house today. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you direct us and guide us. I pray, Lord, that you would move upon us, help us to be more like you. I pray that you would challenge us today, God. Give a prompting in our spirit, Lord, as you have a calling and a work and a purpose for us to accomplish. I pray that you would let your glory fill this house and that your power would move, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. It's no fun being lost. It is no fun being lost. With all of the advances in technology, it may not happen now as frequently as it used to, but how many of you can remember a time when you were lost? Yeah, I went over to the mall last week and I got lost. Sister McCoy always, she says, just, she may not be able to tell you what highway to get there, but you get her to the mall, she can find her way around. And I get in there, all those stores, they just start looking the same, and I'm like, oh, let me out of here. Let me out of here. How many of you, though, you know that there was a time you were lost, and you didn't know where you were, didn't know how to find your way out? One of the nice things about hunting today is you can have a GPS app on your phone that will lead you in the woods. Even if you're in an area without cell service, the phone will pick up enough signal to guide you. And you can walk there in the woods in the dark and know exactly where you're going. And you can go in before sunrise or come out after sunset, and it will take you to the exact spot that you want to go. It's so nice, because I tell you, it's not fun being lost in the woods. And I've been lost in the woods before, and I can think of many times when I was younger, I wish I would have had a GPS app to guide me out, but I had to just do it the old-fashioned way. I had to take a couple deep breaths and say, okay, you're lost, but we're going to find our way out of here. But even today, sometimes technology fails us. I can remember a few years ago when our family traveled to see Yellowstone National Park. How many of you have ever been to Yellowstone? All right, there's been several, quite a few that have been there. And my parents had taken us when we were kids, and I'd always wanted to take our family. And so a few years ago, we went with my cousin and his family. And the thing about Yellowstone, there's more to see than can just be seen in one day. And so we spent several days staying on the south side of the park, and then we took another day to go on the north side and see those things. And so our plan was to drive through the park and then drive out the northeast side and then somehow end up in Cody, Wyoming, where we could stay for the night. As evening came, we had a wonderful time. We were taking pictures there towards sunset in Lamar Valley, and that's where you can see all the different wildlife, buffalo and elk and others. But when it got dark, we looked at the park map, and we went to the exit of the park. Our plan had been to just get started that day, and then somehow we would look online, and we'd find a place to stay for that night and make reservations online. Well, we'd been without cell service all day long. And we weren't worried. We figured we'd just drive out of the park, and then pretty soon cell service would pick back up, and we'd be able to find a place to stay. So we just kept on driving, and it just kept on getting darker and darker. And there was nothing. Nothing. There was no cell service. There were no gas stations. There were no hotels. Not even a campground with some lost soul that we could just say, hey, where are we? And we were in the mountains. It was up and down and around sharp turns, and we had no idea where we were. And we had a map of Yellowstone Park, but the map had ended way back there somewhere, and we did not have a clue where we were. We didn't know if we were going further and further into the wilderness, or if somehow perhaps we were getting closer to civilization, and we were tired. We were hungry. We were almost out of gas, and we were lost. Finally, we were able, I believe it was the genius thought of my wife, that we were able to get a signal on the navigation system in my cousin's rental car. And somehow we were able to find our way out of the mountains. It was very, very late that night to Cody, Wyoming. Oh, the relief of not being lost any longer. The first thing we did was get gas because we were running on fumes. And then we found a Wendy's. I don't necessarily like Wendy's, but it looked so good. And it was the only thing in town that was still open. They had one guy that was running the whole operation, but it was the only thing in town. And then we finally found somewhere to stay, the funny thing is, this is the worst place we stayed on the whole trip, and it was the most expensive because it was the only rooms left in the whole town. But we got them, and we slept good. The air condition was just running, and, man, we slept. We were just so glad to be back in civilization. It's no fun being lost. Luke chapter 15 is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. In it, Jesus relates to the people. He tells them three stories about being lost. Not lost in the woods or not lost on a map somewhere, but something much, much worse. For all the tragedy connected to those who have been lost throughout history, there is something that is far more dreadful. The greatest tragedy ever known to mankind, the loss of an eternal soul. Oh, while the church should have compassion, I believe, for those who have lost health or wealth or life, the greatest anguish and sorrow should be reserved for those who face eternal separation from God. Lost souls. They're not lost just for a passing moment, but they are souls that are lost for eternity. In this first story, Jesus tells the parable of the lost sheep. Maybe it was just a little lamb, and he was counting the sheep in the sheepfold late one night, and all of a sudden it's revealed that one is missing. While many would rather stay in where it was safe and warm, the shepherd leaves the 99. And he goes out and he braves the night in search for the little lamb that was lost. How did that little lamb become lost anyway? What was it that happened? Certainly, he didn't plan to get lost. It just kind of happened when he wandered off. He saw a butterfly over the hill, and he thought, well, I'll chase that for a little while. And soon he looked around, and there was no one else there. And it probably just happened when he wandered off, and he was distracted. And the same situation fits many souls today. They were indifferent. They were unconcerned. And it wasn't really that they planned to be lost, but something just transpired and then it happened. And they didn't mean to drift, but they did. And you ask the average backslider, why are you far from God? And their response will be, well, before I knew it, I didn't even realize how far I was. I didn't know how far I had drifted. And maybe there was no specific moment where they rejected God, but now they just find themselves in a place where they really don't know how they got there. And it was a fog of indifference had covered them, but now they're lost as lost can be. And like the little lamb that had drifted and even in the dark may not realize the danger, so their life has drifted. And they may not even realize the danger and how far they are from God. But the shepherd leaves the 99. And he goes after that one that's lost until he finds it. And then when he's found it, he brings it back rejoicing. Reading in Luke 15, 6, it says, "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." It ought to be a cause for rejoicing when one that has been lost comes back home. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for those that are safe in the fold. But thank God even more for those who were lost, but now they're found. Come on, they were lost, but now they're found. If we don't get excited about backsliders coming back to the house of God, then we need to pray through ourselves. There's joy in heaven over just one sinner that repents. Hallelujah. The second story Jesus told was the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 pieces of silver, and somehow one was lost. Why was it lost? We don't know exactly. Maybe she dropped it while she was moving it somewhere else in her house. Somehow, some way, it slipped from her hand and gravity pulled it down. And perhaps it rolled under the furniture to where she couldn't see it, but whatever it was that happened, it was lost. Jesus said that she lit a candle and she started searching the house and she sought diligently for it. She swept the house and moved the furniture and until she had found it. Why was the coin lost? Of course, the coin did not want to be lost. It was just a matter of circumstance. There was a power that was greater than it that pulled it away until it was lost. And there are some that are like that coin today. They say, well, I want to live for God, but I can't because I'm bound by something that's greater than me. I'm bound by alcohol. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm a slave to cigarettes or lust or bound by generational curses. And they are bound, they are trapped, they are controlled by something that is more powerful than they are. Oh, what they need is to find something that is more powerful than what has them bound. They need someone who is greater to break the chains, to cut the ties of sin, to sever the hold that the world has upon them that they cannot break. They're bound. They can't get free from that force. But I tell you, Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. He is the hope for their life. He is the answer for their soul. They need someone to reach for them, to find them in the darkness and bring them to the light of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the third story, Jesus tells of the son who would not wait for his inheritance. He took it and he blew it all in a wild, reckless way of living in a faraway land. The sheep was lost through indifference. The coin was lost because a force greater than its own pulled it. But the prodigal son was lost because he wanted to be lost. He wanted to be lost. He made a deliberate choice. Why would anyone want to be lost? Why would anyone want to live in the filth of sin, the depths of despair, the darkness of the world? Why would someone want to wake up under the pain of a conscience where wondering where they were last night and what exactly they did, and they can't remember it, but it just grieves their spirit and their soul? Why would someone want to be a slave to alcohol or drugs or cigarettes so that an evil master tells them when they have to go get another drink or shoot up again or smoke another one? It doesn't make sense. But the enemy is so good at painting lies and making the world look so beautiful and exciting and pulling people in with the pleasure of a season. And then when the pleasure has long since wore off, he convinces them through lies that they can never be free. And so since they can never be free, they might as well just stay there. But I tell you, there was a father that was looking for his lost son. And every morning he'd look down the road and he'd hope, oh, maybe that traveler I see, maybe that one walking my way might be my son. And throughout the day he'd find himself, he was working, but he was watching, hoping in the distance to see his son. The evening hours were spent looking longingly, dreaming of the day that his son would find his way back. He was hoping, he was expecting, he was preparing for the day when his son came back home. He was preparing for the celebration they would have when his lost son returned. The shepherd had compassion for the lost lamb. The woman loved that lost coin so much that she did whatever she had to in order to find it. And the father loved the prodigal son so much that he restored him to full status within the family. And so we see the endless love of God. He wants to forgive. He is merciful. He is full of grace. If we'll only turn to him, he will come running for us. He will come reaching for us. He is searching for us. The enemy makes it seem like it's so hard to come home, but if we'll just respond to the drawing of the Lord's Spirit today, Jesus will do the rest. Jesus will do the rest. Isaiah 1:18 says to all who are lost, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus is reaching for you. Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is searching for you. Amen. You don't have to get it all figured out. You just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. And God will reach to you. Why did Jesus tell these three parables? What was the setting and the purpose? The context of Luke chapter 15 is the scribes and Pharisees were criticizing Jesus for receiving sinners and eating with them. And they had clashed over this several times. They just couldn't believe that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus included others. He reached for others. He ministered to others. They would only accept sinners after they'd got everything fixed and worked out. The Pharisees' mindset was to exclude them until they could perfect themselves, and then, well, maybe we'll let you in the club. And that spirit of the Pharisee is alive and well today, because many in the church say, well, oh, no, they're not like us. They don't look like us. They don't smell like us. We got to keep them out until they get themselves fixed, and then we'll let them in. And they can't fix themselves. They can't change themselves. They can't get free from bondage on their own. But when the church opens the doors and says, come one and come all and find what you've been looking for, find the peace that you have not found, find the hope that you've been hoping is there in the world, find something that can set you free from sin, and we're going to do everything we can to love you and to reach for you. Jesus sought out sinners and became their friend as the best way to lead them to repentance. His actions show us it's the desire of God to reach for sinners. And that's exactly what we see the Lord doing in our text with Zacchaeus. Jesus was reaching for a sinner. It was bad enough that old Zac was a tax collector for Rome. But many in that day were guilty of using their position to extort extra money for themselves. And he must have been good at it because the Bible tells us he was rich. But he wanted to see Jesus. So much so that when he couldn't see through the crowd, he climbed up in a tree. And we read again in Luke 19:5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said, Lord, I give my half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. And then notice verse 10 again, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord was not deterred from his mission by murmuring people, by those who were too good to reach for sinners, those who were too good to make friends with people who needed God, too perfect to interact with those who were desperate and hurting. But we see clearly the mission of the Lord here. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't go down that street by accident. He didn't stop by chance and look up into that tree. But true to his mission, Jesus was looking for a man named Zacchaeus. And he looked up to see the hunger in his eyes. And he called him by name. And he went to his home that day. And I preach to this church today, who are we looking for? Who are we seeking today? Who is it that we are responsible for reaching? That we need to open our eyes and see the life, not as they're living right now, but see the life that Jesus wants them to have. Who is it that we need to hear the cry from deep within their soul that says, oh, would somebody pray for me? Would somebody reach for me? Would somebody love me with a love that's greater than the love of this world? On the outside, they may act like everything is fine, but on the inside, they're desperate. They're crying out for help. They're looking for freedom. Those who spend a lot of time out in nature know that before you go out into the wild, you always tell someone where you're going. Today, we'll just send GPS coordinates. Here's where I'm going to be. So if something happens, you'll know where I am. And there's comfort in that. Even if it's miles out of the way, there's comfort in knowing that if you get lost, if something happens, if there's a problem, someone will come looking. This past week, I was involved with a planning meeting with the Missouri District regarding church planting. It was so encouraging and such a blessing and challenging. The Missouri District Superintendent, Brother Parkey, he shared with us a practical resource and guide on the steps involved in church planting. And he spoke to us from some of those main points, and he shared a quote from this resource that they had found, and this quote has really affected me. And I pray that it will affect this church in going forward. Here's the quote. There's only one thing worse than being lost, and that is being lost with no one searching for you. There's only one thing worse than being lost, and that is being lost with no one searching for you. Perhaps you heard the tragic news this week about the South Carolina woman who was found dead in a department store, who had gone unnoticed for 4 days. For 4 days. Investigators are still working to piece together what happened, but surveillance cameras show the woman who worked for a cleaning services company entering the restroom area 4 days prior to the discovery of her body, and she was never seen leaving that area. When I first read about this, I wondered, how does this happen? How can this take place? How is it possible? There's only one possible reason. No one was looking for her. No one was searching. There's only one thing worse than being lost, and that is being lost with no one searching for you. But can we be honest here today? Most of the souls in Southwest Missouri do not have anyone searching for them. Most of those who are lost in our area, they do not have anybody in pursuit of their soul. Even with all of us reaching for people, the vast majority of those in our city, those who are in darkness, they do not have anyone carrying the light of truth to them. If we are going to do the work that God has called us to do, we have got to get busy. We've got to be about the Lord's business. There's no way we can do it all ourselves, but our prayer needs to be, God, use this church. God, use this church to carry the gospel to the lost in our communities. Let there be preaching in every neighborhood. Let there be evangelism in every home. Let there be an outreach in every school. Let there be a revival that sweeps through Southwest Missouri. And Lord, the task is too great for just one church. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to plant other churches that are going to turn around and do the same, that will have a burden for the lost. And all over this Southwest Missouri area, there'll be people carrying the truth, reaching for souls, searching for the lives of those who have no hope. If you remember the stories of Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, you remember how, when everybody thought they died, remember how excited they were to watch the search for their bodies? Anybody remember that? Remember how proud they were to go to their own funeral? There's something about knowing that someone is searching for you. I've had backsliders tell me how thankful they were for text and phone calls and reaching for them, and they said, well, I know I never responded. I know I never answered. But oh, when that text would come through, it did something to me, because I knew somebody was reaching for me. Somebody was praying for me. Somebody was thinking about me. Oh, think about it today. As scary as it is to being lost, as tragic as it is, what about being lost and knowing that nobody is searching for you and nobody cares for you? Even when people are not where they should be, when they're living in sin and they're far from God and doing the things of the world, when they get that text, when they get that phone call, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Hey, I was wondering how you're doing. Do you know that we love you? We miss you. Is there anything we can do? They may not respond, but there's something in their heart that knows somebody's reaching for me. Somebody's thinking of me. Somebody loves me. And oh, my heart grieves to think of those who have come to this church and somewhere along the way they were distracted and they went over a hill until they found themselves alone. Or maybe it was something that pulled them that was greater than they were. Or maybe they just made the decision to go into sin, but nobody called and nobody reached for them and nobody said, hey, I missed you. That ought to convict every single one of us here today. What could possibly be worse than being lost? To be lost and there's no one searching for you. There's a principle in the Word of God: to whom much is given, much is required. God's been good to this church. God has blessed us. We have been so privileged to have the favor of God upon us. When people want to know why we are so focused on others, why are we starting a daughter work in Nixa? Why are we going downtown every Tuesday night to have church? And why are we going beyond just the minimum that we have to do to get by with? Because to whom much is given, much is required. God did not call us to just get fat on the blessings, to enjoy all of the wonderful things and just take and not give back, to reap all of the benefits and not share them with others. But God has saved us. He has brought us out of darkness. He has delivered us and given us new life. Amen. He's placed His blessing and His favor upon us. How can we not reach for others that need that same touch? They need that same miracle of deliverance in their life. I know it's not convenient. I know it's not something our flesh wants to do. Amen. It's hard supporting the service in Nixa. It's a sacrifice going downtown on Tuesday nights. There's other things I'd rather be doing. But what about our greater responsibility? Miss Pastor, so many times it's so disheartening. When you see people that God wants to do great things through, people that God wants to use and God wants to bless and God wants to work in their life, but they're unwilling to take on that greater responsibility. And you want it so bad for them, but we have to all pay the price. And how sad that so many miss out because they're not willing to be responsible for that extra mile. They're not willing to come to prayer meeting. They're not willing to go to Nixa or downtown. They're not willing to serve others. They don't even make it on time for church, and it's a struggle, and you do your best, and you're like, come on, God's got something He wants to do. But we all have to be willing to say, I'll go the extra mile in order to receive the extra blessing. I don't want God to remove His great hand of favor upon this church because we're not responsible enough to go to a greater level of commitment. No, let's go above and beyond so that we can continue to bask in His great blessings. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's the calling of God. I wonder if you'd stand with me today. I must confess today, I have a fear. Some of you probably share this fear. Some of you think it's ridiculous. What's my fear? Heights? I'm a little afraid of heights, but I'm a little claustrophobic too. I got a bunch of issues, folks. I like free spaces. I don't like tight spaces. Sister McCoy and I went shopping one day at this one particular place, and we parked in the parking garage up on level 4 or 5, and she wanted to take the elevator, and I looked at it, and I thought, I don't know. It looks kind of old to me, and I'm not sure about this one. I said, you go ahead. And she said, no, I'll just walk with you. So we went and did our shopping, came back. Guess what? All the firemen were there trying to get somebody out of that elevator. But every once in a while, you got to ride an elevator. I understand that. But I do have the thought sometimes, well, if I get stuck, surely somebody will come looking for me. Surely. But what if not? How many souls in this city have no one that's even thought of them? Nobody has prayed for them any time recently. Nobody's called them to invite them to church. And I was so challenged this morning. And I just began going through my phone and people that used to go to this church and people that used to live for God and people that are far from the Lord and people that they don't even know maybe perhaps that they're lost, and they're just kind of searching and trying to find their way. And I thought, I don't want it to be that they go through life not knowing that somebody loves them. And so I started texting and said, hey, good morning. Hey, it would make our day if you'd come and be in church with us. Oh, I wonder how you're doing. And oh, I just wanted to reach for you. Come on, I want to tell you, you keep reaching. You keep reaching. You keep loving. Hallelujah. Sister Alyssa, you keep reaching. You keep working. They need to know that somebody is reaching for them. Hallelujah. Sister Smith, you keep on praying and you keep on reaching. They need to know that somebody cares about them, that somebody's praying, that somebody loves them. And every single one of us, you have somebody that you're responsible for reaching. Come on, don't let them go through life not knowing they're loved, not knowing that somebody is searching for them. In closing today, if you're lost, if you're not where you need to be, if you've wandered out of the safety of God's presence, I want to tell you, Jesus is searching for you. Jesus is searching for you. If you succumb to the power of something in the world that is pulling you stronger than what you can resist, Jesus is reaching for you. If you're the one that has deliberately backslid, if you looked at the pleasures of sin and the things of this world, and you purposed in your heart to leave the things of God, I want to tell you, there's still a place for you in the Father's house. Just make that step toward God today. You may not have all the answers. You may not know how everything's going to work out. But just take a step. Just start back home. The prodigal son hadn't even made it home. And the father saw him coming and ran to meet him. If you'll just make a step today, I know that God's presence will run to that place to meet you. But somebody's got to make a step. Somebody's got to say, here I am, Lord. I'm tired of being lost. I've got to come to myself and realize I've got to get back to the Father's house. But if you'll just start back home, he's going to run to you and welcome you back. And today, if you've already been pulled from darkness by the love of God, if you've already been brought into his marvelous light, then you have been given much. You are walking in the favor and the blessings of God. And that means that much is required of us. And there is somebody that you're responsible for. There is some soul that you can reach. There is some person that you can search for. There's somebody you can pray for. And it may seem so impossible, but you keep going to prayer and say, God, save their soul. God, deal with their heart. God, change their mind. Lord, have mercy upon them. Don't let them be lost, God. Whatever it takes, they've got to be saved, Lord. And you keep on praying that prayer, and you keep on loving them, and you keep on reaching for them. They may not receive it right now, but in their heart they know somebody loves me. Somebody's praying for me. And when they're ready, they'll know where to come. They'll know who to turn to because you've been reaching for them. The only thing worse than being lost is being lost with nobody searching for you. But let that not be here in Springfield, Missouri. Let that not be in Nixa, Missouri. Let that not be in Southwest Missouri. But let this church reach for people more than ever before. God, get a hold of us. Let there be a burning that stirs us. Oh, is there anybody you'd like to make your way to the altar today? Maybe you're lost today, but you're going to make that first step. And you'd come to this altar and say, Jesus, I need you. Maybe you're here today and God's been so good to you, but you'll make a step to this altar today and say, I'm going to reach for others like never before. I'm going to have a burden in my heart like never before. Oh, come on, would you just come to this altar right now and say, Jesus, work in me. Jesus, work in me. Lord, move in me. God, make a way in me. Hallelujah. Come on, the enemy's been telling somebody that what you're doing is not doing any good, that you might as well give up, you might as well stop praying, you might as well stop reaching. But you need to hear the voice of the Lord today. Keep on reaching. You're doing the work of Jesus. You're doing the work of our Father. Come on, you're doing the work. Hallelujah. I feel this so strongly in my spirit today. I know some of you young people have been reaching in your schools and you've been trying your best, and it just seems like doors are being shut in your face. But I want to tell you something today. If you will go to prayer like never before, come on, it's a sacrifice to pray. It's a sacrifice to pray. But if you go to prayer and you get your prayer list of your friends and those that you're reaching for, and you pray those names before the Lord, and you say, God, save that one. God, touch that one. God, reach for that one. God, move upon that one. I believe that God's going to hear your prayers. Come on, you can't do it alone. But if you'll pray, God's going to open a door, and God's going to give you the words to speak. Come on, some of you got lost loved ones, and it just seems like it's impossible, like they'll never come back to the house of God. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. I tell you, in 1 week, God could transform that situation and set them free, and they walk through the doors of this church. But somebody's got to pray. Somebody's got to reach for them. Somebody's got to intercede. Someone has to stand in the gap.